The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. We celebrated 2 weeks ago the ascension of our Lord going to heaven and saying his famous last words to us Christians, which were to go to the whole world and preach the gospel to all creation. Words that, for the time of Jesus, the apostles and disciples, they knew exactly what that meant. But when we hear them today, we're probably questioning exactly how do I do that in my life. And we said that the answer to that today is to transform through the gospel your heart and your home. And if all of us do that here, then our little part of Charlotte will be transformed by the gospel. Last week we focused on the heart. We welcomed the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And today I want to talk about the home and how we transform our homes to a place where God truly dwells. Now, months ago, when we first had our audiovisual upgrade, I used a piece of artwork. It was the Transfiguration by Raphael, Jesus in his glory. And it's been a while since I've used a piece of artwork, so I have an art homily for you today. And for this piece of artwork, we're not going to be in the Renaissance anymore. We're going to be going back in time a little bit farther. We have an icon today. Renaissance paintings are full of life and color and movement. It's kind of like a movie scene happening. But an icon is, it's a window opening into heaven. And here we see the Holy Trinity, painted by a Russian Orthodox saint, Andrei Rublev. He was a monk who dedicated a lot of his life to contemplating the mystery of the Holy Trinity. You see, the Trinity is a mystery because in the time of Jesus, the things he was saying were so new, it was truly a revelation. The Greek philosophers like Aristotle, they knew that God was one. They knew he was omniscient, omnipresent, all-powerful. They had a list of what God was. But they never would have figured out that God wasn't just one, but God was three. That's one of the greatest revelations of Christianity. And since that moment, we've been meditating and trying to understand, to make heads and tails of what it means that God is one, but also three. And so this artist, Rublev, who made this icon, now it's an older icon. It's going on 800 years, so it's faded quite a bit. I'd like to put up a more contemporary version of the exact same icon. That way we can see the details. Because this has a lot to do with our homes, and I want to explain why. But first, we're going to go through Trinity 101. All right? We're going back to university studies now, going to the seminary. And we studied this for a year. And I think I can do it in about 2 minutes. So buckle up if you're at home, get comfortable there in your sofa, and turn on your thinking caps here. So the icon, often when you see a painting of the Trinity, it's Jesus in the center with the Holy Spirit kind of floating over him and as a dove, and then it's the Father like a Santa Claus figure kind of on top looking down. And that's one way to do the Trinity, but there's another way, which is to put three equal persons or three equal symbols. So when you look at this icon, you don't really know right off the bat who's the Father, who's the Son, and who's the Spirit. They all kind of look the same. But there's a lot of little iconic symbolism here. The Father is on the left. Behind him, there is a home, there's a house, because God is the one who created the whole world, which is our home. God the Father is creator. Jesus is in the middle. Jesus has a tree behind him. Right, that tree in the book of Genesis, when you open up Genesis, it says there was a tree, there was some fruit on the tree, which we usually think of as an apple. Jewish rabbis say it was a pomegranate. And around the tree was a serpent. And then Adam and Eve, all happy, were right there in the Garden of Eden until they bit into the apple. And at the foot of a tree is where we all lost the greatest gift we ever received as humanity, which is divine life. And it was at the foot of a tree where all of us gathered, where we were saved, the tree of the cross. And that's why the tree is with Jesus, to remind us of what he did. God the Father created, Jesus the Son saved us. He's the Redeemer. To the right, we have the Holy Spirit, and there's a mountain behind the Holy Spirit. The symbol of a mountaintop in the Bible is where one goes to meet God. Think of Moses on Sinai, Jesus up on the Mount Calvary, or Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, where he said his most amazing things. Mountaintop experiences are those moments in our lives when God touches our soul, and that's through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we say, he's the sanctifier. That's what he does. He helps us to become holy. Now, all of the three men there, the persons in the image, are wearing some type of blue, but some have more blue than others. In a Russian icon, blue symbolizes divinity. It's like the infinite blue sky or the infinite blue ocean. So they all have blue, but the Father has only a little bit of blue. And that's because the Father's divinity for us is often hidden. We don't see the Father. We get glimpses of the Father. But we have seen Jesus, as John says in his letter, him who we have seen and touched and heard, Jesus. His divinity was made visible for us. That's why we see so much blue on Jesus. We see a lot of blue on the Spirit, and that is because we don't maybe see the Spirit directly, but we see the fruit of the Spirit all around us. And Jesus is there, and he's got a red robe with a gold stripe on it. Jesus has those two colors because he has two natures. He's human, his red robe, the blood of humanity, and he's also divine with the gold stripe of his divinity. And to make sure we got the message, he's given us a peace sign. He's got two natures, right? When Jesus is holding up two fingers or in a blessing, it means fully human and fully divine. The Father, he's pointing to the chalice on the table. This is an altar. And in the chalice, there's an image of a lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And the Father is looking at the Son, saying, Jesus, will you drink this chalice? Will you go down and show all those humans down there on earth that we love them enough to die for them? And Jesus, out of love to the Father, bows his head saying, yes, I will drink this chalice. And the Holy Spirit also bows his head and says, I will help with that. Now, Rublev also wanted to finish this icon with a broader meaning. And if you look at it, the Father on the left and the Spirit on the right are forming two sides of a chalice, or two handles of a chalice, with Jesus in the middle. And it is an invitation for all of us to approach this altar to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. All right, Trinity 101 is over. Now that's beautiful here, but how does the Trinity speak to us in our families and our homes? Well, if Jesus revealed the Trinity to us, he also revealed something amazing about the book of Genesis. If you remember, when God's creating everything, God's actually kind of like talking to himself. And God says, after he'd made all the earth and the stars and the heaven and the plants and animals, he wants to kind of put a capstone to this creation. And he says, let us, the Trinity, let us make man in our image. You see, the Jewish scholars took a long time. They have different explanations of why God would speak in the plural in Genesis. But Christians, we know what's happening there. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, in that conversation of love, said, let's make this new creation, humanity, like us, which means we're created to be a communion of love. And that stamp of the Trinity is in all of our lives and seen in our homes. Because God said, let's make humanity, male and female, let's create them. A man on his own, a woman on her own, they're not enough to represent the fullness of humanity. But in that beautiful gift of holy matrimony, what do we see? The mother and the father in the third part of that communion, the children, become a blessing. That isn't just a pious thought. That is church teaching, that our homes are icons of the Trinity. And the power and the beauty of that, when I'm invited over to your homes for dinner and to gather around the table, mom and dad and the children, that's a moment of peace and love and joy. Like Jesus says, it's a glimpse of heaven because heaven's a wedding feast. And so in the love that we have for each other, we're bringing God into our homes. That's how we do it. Now, some of you here are probably thinking, well, my home doesn't really look like that. And it's true, we're still in a valley of tears. We have to sometimes say goodbye to a loved one when they pass on to eternity. Maybe you've lost a parent or a spouse or a child, and your home isn't, in a sense, complete. You're missing something. There's a hole in your heart. Well, Jesus died for us so that those holes in our lives will be filled one day in heaven. He didn't come to just solve all of our earthly problems. He said, we will all go together to heaven, a communion of love where everything will be made whole, every tear will be wiped away, and we'll never have to say goodbye again. And there'll be no more brokenness and fear. And so my prayer for you today is that in our homes, that we remember deeply that to love another person is to see the face of God. It's such a gift, that beautiful reality of the family. So I pray that each one of our homes will be a place where God truly is welcomed, where the little acts of love every day, kids taking out the trash and doing your homework and making your bed, all those little things, calling up grandma, calling up grandpa. At the sign of peace today, in a little bit, kids, if you're next to your parents, I want you to give them a big hug and say, thank you for loving me, because that's what they've done every day of their lives for you, because they want their house to look like this. I think that's a beautiful gift. And today, as we pray to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that He be with us, that He be for us, that He be around us, that He watch over our coming and our going. Let that be our prayer today for our great Holy Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.